The last couple of weeks we've been focused on opening Se'ifim of the opening Siman. Siman Pei Zayin, as we said when we got started, really lays the groundwork for the whole of Hilchos Bas Vachal. A number of different topics already begin to come up here that we're going to be fleshing out, no pun intended, as we work our way through Bas Vachal. And specifically, clearly the official topic of Siman Pei Zayin, as we've been saying and as we've been seeing, is defining the three basic concepts of Bishul, Basar, and Chalav. And the first couple of Se'ifim, that's true for Siman Pei Zayin as a whole. The first couple of Se'ifim, are really focused on the core basics, the basic Isser, the role of Bishul, and the basic definition of Basar and Chalav in terms of just the basic category, which species, kosher, treif, poultry versus chaya versus behema. The Se'ifim that we're going to focus on tonight, that we've been focusing on over the last week, and for some of us over the last 2 weeks, Se'ifim Hey, Vav, Zayin, and Ches, are a deeper dive into those questions, a deeper dive into what's considered Basar, a deeper dive into what's considered Chalav, beyond sort of the high-level issues, which species, like digging in with much greater granularity, as Eric has pointed out, some of these issues may come up more on the farm than in a more urban setting that we live in. So what I want to do is survey, get a chance to see the Chavrus of the course of the week. So all the details that comes mostly from the Gemara's Kufyud Gimel, Kufyud Dal, and the Drush is there. A little bit opening sips of hay from the Gemara and Beitza. So you had a chance to work through line by line over the course of the week. What I'd like to do tonight is sort of dive into particular issues that are particularly intriguing. After Glenn's choice of icon, we cannot, and plus if Hay was on the Marvel Comics more than a week, just the way the logistics of the Marvel Comics like that. So we'll get started with the Sugya of Beitzim, although that's really probably come up more if we lived on a farm, if we were actually shechting chickens on the farm, and finding the eggs inside them. This is a more lamasa. Let's begin there, and then we'll surge forward into Se'if, Vav, and beyond. So the Gemara, if you want, you can definitely take a look. The Gemara, Maseches Beitza, the opening block are, even though Maseches Beitza is really about Yom Tov, but the opening Mishnah talks about eggs, and the opening Sukkah, the opening Dapin do focus on different halachas of eggs as they interrelate sometimes with Yom Tov. In the course of a discussion of the details of egg development as they relate to Muktzah, that's the original topic, that's the topic of the Mishnah, the chicken lays an egg on Yom Tov, is it Muktzah, is it not Muktzah, what did the egg look like when Yom Tov came in, and that sort of, that launches the Gemara into a larger discussion of the development of eggs during the hours that precede its hatching and its halachic relevance. It starts with Yom Tov, yeah. Interesting. What do you mean that the Gemara did not? You're asking, how could the Gemara make such a big deal about the Beitza if it doesn't make such a big deal about the oath? Right. What do you mean the Gemara doesn't make a big deal about the oath? Right.
So, like, why are we like, yeah, the Beitza
should be like barely an issue? Interesting. So, it is true. We saw the Machlokas HaTanam and perhaps Machlokas HaMoram HaPaskin. Three Machlokas HaTanam, whether oath is fleshik, all three possibilities. Oath is fleshik ben HaTorah, or oath is power ben HaTorah, fleshik ben Rabbanan, or oath is power of even ben Rabbanan. The position of Yosef Lili was actually, was matir, lamasa, to eat oath b'chalav, right? The Gemara says, in the poem, she was like, Lee, that his follow up and followed him. It is a three of machlokas, and it is actually, it's interesting. It is one of the few issues one of the few Siman Pei Zayin issues that really has a lot of presence in the Mishnayos is that issue of Ov. As we saw, the issue of Ov does come up. It comes up in the Mishnah Ketuvim Gimel. It talks about Ov and Chaya and so forth. And that's where the Machlok is there. The Gemara deals with the Gemara that follows the Mishnah Ketuvim Gimel deals with it. The truth is, as we saw, it's actually the opening topic also. The opening topic in Perek, Kol HaBasar, is also the Vash B'Chalav. And the Gemara said, and again, that Mishnah keeps saying, except for Dag M'Chagam. The truth is, the opening focus, the opening topic of the Perek, even from the point of view of the Mishnayos, was the significance of Oath. Unlike Dag M'Chagam, which are Mutter, Oath is Taka Asa. You have to discuss, and after the opening Gemara there, Kufi Gimel Beis to Kufdal Ralph, is Oaf is Asr, but does that mean Asr not Torah, Asr Drabana? That's what the Gemara got involved in Kufdal. But it is a significant issue, and obviously Oaf does come up in Lamaisa plenty. But you're right, the Beitzim, I think, is less, I mean, it's a sif, and it's a couple lines of Gemara. I think you're right. And that the Gemara definitely does give less real estate, so to speak, to Beitzim than it does to Oaf. Oaf is a sugya in Kuf Dalet, and then it comes up again in the Kuf Gimel. And Beitzim has a couple of lines here. Let's take a look. And you're right also. According to Yosef Aglili, the discussion of Beitzim wouldn't get off the ground. And Yosef Aglili, even the flesh of a chicken is tired. So clearly, the eggs are not a problem. But what the Tanna were wondering about is, these Tanaim clearly did not hold like a Biosegli. They held that Besar Ha'of is Falashik, whether Min HaTorah, Min Rabbanah, but Besar Ha'of is Falashik. Then the question is, Besar Ha'of is Falashik, but Beitza is Par. Sort of like the question is, when does it transition temporally along the axis of time? It starts as the ovary of a chicken, obviously, is Falashik. And we pass Kini Jabana. We pass the Besar Ha'of Flashing Jabana. The ovary of the chicken is flashing. An egg that's laid is par. At some point, something switched over. Like Bina Shmashas. At what point did you switch from being flashing to being par? That's the question. Because that's even a sharper question with milk. That will get to a different angle as well. But that was the question over here. The Gemara said, what? And Gimel on Zion, Amid Aleph. Near the beginning of the wide lines, fifth wide line, Gufa, Ashoka is a Tarnagol, so what's the Beitzim Gemurus? I shecht a chicken and I find completed eggs within. If it had already laid the eggs, eggs are laid by a chicken, are par. But let's say I find a step earlier, I shecht the chicken and inside the chicken there are Beitzim Gemurus, completed eggs. Mutar Salah Mukal. Tanakama says that's mutter. That's par. Even they haven't been laid yet. Once they're gemuros, even though they're inside, they are par. And Rabbi Yaakov says, well, the dividing line is not gemuros versus non-gemuros. The dividing line is ma'uros begidin asuros. If they're still entwined, connected to the cords, then you have the poultry equivalent of umbilical cords, it sounds like, still connected to the eggs, at that point is awesome. The Machlokas, Tanakama, and Yaakov, where is the divine line? Then as you saw, so then the question is how we pass, as opposed to, as they chose to open right away, is the Machlokas Tanakama? We're pretty convincing passing Tanakama, but that's actually the picture didn't look like. But Moore's beginning sounds like it's relatively well defined. The problem with Tanakama is that the violence seems to be Beitzim and Gemurah. So if you only know what Beitzim and Gemurah are, so then we would be in the chain. The question, what exactly are Beitzim and Gemurahs? That's the Beis Yosef puts a long, long discussion. Okay. Nachamon. So the Shulchan Aruch takes the position of the Rashba. Again, the Tanna Kamma says Gemurus, and Rabbi Yaakov says as long as it's Meuru Begidin, it's a problem. The Tosas already points out sounds like you could be Gemurus and still Meuru Begidin. That Rabbi Yaakov has a later stage. Rabbi Yaakov is more Machmir, and that's the position of Rashba as well. And that's what Shulchan Aruch is quoting. As long as Chelbon V'Chelma, as long as already has the white and the yolk, that's considered developed enough that we can clearly identify that as an egg and not as that's not chicken. That's already an egg. As a yolk and white, that's an egg, even though it's still connected. If it doesn't yet have a developed white, it just has the yolk. Then also levashlam b'chala. Also levashlam b'chala, but it doesn't make you again, the Beis Yosef already quotes a number of different shitos in terms of how you define gemurus. Halacha l'mas, it doesn't cover that much, but halacha for us, we're not farm dwellers. But halacha l'mas, the position of Shulchan Aruch is like the Rashba, that neither paskin like the Tanna Kamma, but that what the Tanna Kamma means, based on gemurus. That means specifically, it already has a developed yolk and a white as the chelmon the chelbon. And Si'if Vav is a long quote, basically from the Rambam. It's the Rambam's compilation of a number of the dinim that appear, the Gemara Darshans and Daf Kufi Gimel, going on to Daf Kufi Dalit. In terms of the Gemara Darshan from the details, the back and forth, the Shach V'Tari, the Kufi Gimel, Los Vashel Gedi B'Chalei V'Imot, repeat three times, the way you learn from this, well, from that, Gedi's Marba this, Gedi's Marba this, a number of the details in terms of, again, what's called Bishel, what's called Basar, what's called Chas. Let's take a look and let's highlight a couple of issues. Hama'ushan to Ifgav Meshulchanor. Hama'ushan V'Mavushal B'Chametari. If you smoke it, these smokers are trending these days. I mean, it's a result of having different people pick up different hobbies over the last couple months. For some, it was gardening. For some, it was more of a culinary focus. Smokers in a number of backyards. So, ma'ushan, if you smoke, you stack meat and cheese and you smoke them. Even if you have meat sitting in milk and you smoke it. Or if it's cooked in Chame Tveria, you have just geothermal heat. You have the hot springs of Tveria. It's a source of heat. You could cook in it. That's most famously a discussion in the third parak of Shabbos, Parakira, in the context of Bishul B'Shabbos. If I'm going to cook, and the Tanami even described it, the people in Tveria had worked out the Chame Tveria were naturally hot. They were a great heat source, but they weren't good for drinking. It wasn't to drink potable water. What they did is they had a plumbing setup. They ran a pipe of cold drinkable water through the Chame Tveria, and you could get hot drinkable water that way. The question is that called Bishul with respect to Shabbos? Here the question is it called Bishul with respect to Bas B'chal? The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, these two forms of bishul, these quasi-bishul, the smoking and using geothermal heat, ain't lokin alone. There is no malchus. No malchus, the Shach points out in Sif Katan Gimel, avla isura miha ikka. It's not, ain't lokin means that there's no malchus. That means it's not an issur d'oraisa. So that's like the equivalent Hilchos Shabbos of Potter. Potter from Onesh, but Aser. Ain Lokin means this is Asur Midra Banan. So that's Poskim talked about in this comes up in Bishul Akim as well. You have alternative cooking styles might not create Bishul Akim. We're makel on Ma'ushan that smoking is not doesn't create the Nachri smokes fish and he turns it into lox, raw salmon. Turns into lox, that's not a problem of Bishul Akim. Ma'ushan does not count as Bishul with respect to Bishul Akum. The Vilna Gaon quotes Sifkat Yud Gimel. The Yerushalmi raises this as a shayla. The Rabbanim in Kesaria raise this question. Ma'ushan Mahu. Is Ma'ushan considered Bishul respect to Bishul Bashab? Is it Bishul respect to Bas Bechav? Is it considered Bishul respect to Bishul Akum? The Bishul Akum is a Rabbanim, they were Mekel. Here we're not so quick to be Mekel. Here we're dealing with the Daraisa. So this may have relevance. We don't do that much smoking. We certainly don't do a whole lot of geothermal cooking. But there are other types of quasi cooking which do come more often. Bishul b'chama, perhaps solar cooking, and certainly microwaving. So most poskim are mekel that microwaving is not a problem for bishul akum. Anyways, usually the type of food that you're looking at for bishul akum doesn't relate itself to microwaving. But even if it would, the poskim assume that the microwaves fall into the same category as ma'usha. So for bishul akum, you're in the clear, but for bas b'chol, you're not. We wouldn't give you malchus, we wouldn't say this is necessarily an issa d'oraisa, but midei safek lo yatzana. You're not allowed to microwave the milk and kefle shik together. And it would present a potential concern of bas b'chol. But then the Shulchan Aruch goes on. The first two examples were questions again in the details of defining bishul, and now we move on to basar and cholam. The chena mevashel continuing the sivah. The chena mevashel basar b'mei cholam, o b'chalev mesa, o b'chalav zachar. Three types of borderline milks. Mei cholam sounds like whey. You have natural milk as a combination of various solids, including protein, as well as water, mostly water. It comes naturally blended together. But in cheese making, the essence of cheese making is that you solidify, you coagulate a lot, you get a lot of the protein to coalesce into chunks. Those are your curds. What remains is a liquid that has much less milk in it, much less milk solid in it, that's whey. More or less what you get when you open a package of cottage cheese. Not exactly, because they strain out. Commercial cottage cheese, as most of the liquid has been strained out. It wouldn't be very appetizing if that all the whey still sitting there. But that's the curds and whey. You take natural milk and you coagulate much of the protein into the curds. What remains is the whey. So that's usually assumed to be mechal, the water of milk. So if you have whey, or you have a deceased animal, the milk of a deceased animal, it doesn't mean that I milk the cow and then the cow dies, the milk is still alive now. What we mean is that the cow died before the milk left it. That's the sugya of kechal. That's the equivalent of what we're talking about. Hey, let's say I shech the cow and I find milk inside. I shech the nursing cow, the udders are full of milk. So what is that? It's a milk inside meat. A bizarre situation. So here we're told that milk isn't really milk of Minat Torah. Whey, mechal, is not milk of Minat Torah. Chalev mesa, the milk that you find within an animal, which is shchuta. Sometimes it's referred to as chalev shchuta. The animal died without shchita. We're not really interested in the milk anyhow. If you shech an animal, and it has milk still within the udders, but that milk is only milk in Midrabana. And then the third type of milk in Midrabana is Kalev Zachar. There's a third situation where it's not milk in Minat Torah, is the milk of a male. You have a male animal that produces a little bit of milk. It happens occasionally. The udders of the nipples of the male animal produce a little bit of milk. So that milk also, those three milks, Chalev Mason, Chalev Zachar, are not milchik min haTorah. Or Bishel Dam B'chalav. Here's an example of not fleshik min haTorah. You cook the meat and milk, that's a problem. If you cook the blood in milk, now blood and milk obviously is treif, because I'm not going to eat it. But the question is, was that cooking a violation of Bishel Bas B'chalav? Or to have some other hana. Again, going back to the dog food situation, okay, I have dog food that was made from a a blend of dam and chalav instead of basar and chalav. So patur ve'in lo k'machilas mishum basar b'chalav. These are not basar b'chalav daraisa. The mushan and the chametz teri is not bishul daraisa. The mechalav, the chalav mesa, and the chalav zahar are not chalav daraisa, and the dam is not basar daraisa. Again, you can't eat the dam b'chalav anyhow, but because of dam, but not because of basar b'chalav. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam. From the Rambam, who in turn is collecting the dinim from the Gemara, largely from the Gemara that follows the mission of Kuf Yud Gimel. Now, the Rambam has a number of important things to say. The first thing he has to say, there's a long Rambam here. The Rambam begins by addressing what the Shulchan Aruch said. The latter part of the Rambam is independent, but let's first take a look at the beginning of the Rambam. Rama says, well, the Shulchan Aruch just gave a list of cases where ein lokin, specifically three types of milk, mei chalav, chalav mesa, and chalav zachar. So the mei chalav, the case of whey, that's going to be dealt with further in Sif Ches. But the chalav zachar, mei chalav is going to be discussed further in Sif Ches. Chalev Mesa, Chalev Shrutas, that's actually there's an entire simon dedicated to it, simon sadi. We said min haTorah, the milk in the udders is not milk, but midrabanan, it is a concern. There's a whole discussion, how do you actually eat udders? There's a whole system for process, if one would be interested. And in an udder, kechal, it's called, kaf ches lamed, so how do you extract enough of the Chalev Mesa, which is a problem in Drabanan, so that's not even a problem in Drabanan. Okay. So the first two milks will be dealt with later, but the third one, Chalev Zachar, the Ramah comments. Chalev Zachar, if you want to be grammatical, Chalev Zachar, the milk of a male, lo mikri chalev klal. That's not milchik at all. That's just not milchik min hatzom. That's not even milchik min Drabanan. If you have a cupful of chalav zachar and it falls into the talon, even though it's not about the bashishim, it doesn't matter. That's totally par. So why, if it's totally par, why is he given the case of nafal? Because of what we learned last year. Right. So mamash have like a piece of meat floating in the chalav zachar, that's a marasayim problem. But as we discussed last week, the Rambam says, it's only my sign if you see the milk of the meat. If it fell in, I shouldn't have thrown it in, but it fell in. So if it's just a marasayan problem, now there's no marasayan at all. It's totally parim. They don't even have to worry about bittul bashishim. As long as it dissolves, it's fine. The Ramah says that there's a distinction to be drawn between these milks. Chalav zachar is totally parim. But chalav mesa, mechalav, the whey and the other milk, they do create a problem. A filu bishul yesh la sechet. And the Rambam says, well, maybe she even be machmir l'chatchila on cooking them. Although that is l'chatchila may be a result of a concern of marzayim. But certainly, if they fall into the tarobes, they will create a problem. They are milchik midrabanan. Just like chicken is fleishik midrabanan. If you end up with chicken and milk, they're not just al-chadchil, you shouldn't mix them. If they get mixed together, you're not allowed to eat them. Throw them in the garbage. Let's say about the position. The same is true here. Chalev mesa and mechalav are milchik midrabanan, and they're going to create a real problem. Let's say about the position. The Ramah says, but chalav zachar is not a problem whatsoever. So the shach, the machlok is the shach and the Vilna Gaon, how to understand what the Ramah is saying. And the Ramah says, Chalav Zachar lo mikri chalav klal. The Chalav Zachar is absolutely parim. Not just min haTorah, but even min drabanan. So the Shach and the Gra have two different ways of looking at this. The Shach, Sipkan Tazayin, he gets very bothered. You look, the Ramah says, it's not even milchik min drabanan. It's totally parim. He says, but the Magen Mishnah doesn't think so. Rambam doesn't sound like that. The Rambam that Shulchan Aruch is based on. And he says the truth is going down a couple lines of the Shach. Sivkat and Tez, halfway down Sivkat and Tez Zayin. He says, the Gemara doesn't sound like that. It says that Gemara that you saw in Kufi Gimel Beis, that's where the Gemara darshans all these dinim. The Gemara sources all these dinim from the Psukim. If you wait, quote Kufi Gimel Beis in the Shach. Let's jump in the middle. See if you like. Amar Shmuel Hasam Chalev Imavolo B'Chalev Zachar B'Chalev Imavolo B'Chalev Shchuta. The Gemara side by side two drushes from the same term because the term appears more than once. Chalev Imo. The only time it's milk like Torah is if it's the milk of a mother. Milk of a mother means a female as opposed to Chalev Zachar. Milk of a mother means it's still a live mother as opposed to Chalev Shchuta. So he says, Shach says, look, the Gemara darshans the two dinim side by side. In Cain, he says, we're learning both dinim from the same, from parallel drushes, and that we should assume that the two dinim work the same way. Halev shchuta, the utter milk, and halev zachar. He says, well, halev shchuta, it's midrabanam, yes, mutam and atar, it's midrabanam. Okay, they'll come on simen tzadi. That's why they say the whole simen tzadi is all about the dinim of kachal. Midrabanan, you can't just cook the udder as is. Midrabanan, the udder milk, Chalev Shchuta is milchik, midrabanan. That's why you have to squeeze it out and extract it before you can cook the meat. He said, look, if Simon Sadi is dedicated to the proposition that Chalev Shchuta is mutter min ha-Torah, but it's milchik midrabanan, then halchanami Chalev Zachar. By analogy, you should say Chalev Zachar is also power min ha-Torah, milchik midrabanan. So Shach is very bothered. All I do with this Ramah. Who says the Halev Zachar is totally par? The Shach comes up with a very, very creative solution. He says, Svei Dinim and Chalev Zachar, the two different things we call Chalev Zachar. It could be animal Chalev Zachar, or it could be human Chalev Zachar. He says, that Gemara, that sounds like it's Mutter Ben HaTorah Basim Rabbanan, and the Magen Mishnah sounds like it's Asim Rabbanan. Yeah, that's Chalev Zachar of a male bull. The male animal, that's mutter min ha-Torah, par min ha-Torah, but milchim drabanan. He says, but if it's human chalav zachar, he says, well, even we said before in Siv Dalet, what we were focused on last week, human milk is par of even midrabanan, absent any issue of arzayim, even if it's mother's milk. So mother's milk and father's milk, all the same. Mother's milk and father's milk, all the same. It's par of even midrabanan. Yeah. But that's a very difficult read. So why are we talking Chalav Zachar? According to the Shach, and the Shach took the Ramah's statement, the Chalav Zachar is absolutely part of Yudhavan. He said, well, it's limited only to human Chalav Zachar. That's a very difficult Shach. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's the father's milk. Any human Chalav is part, not just Chalav Zachar. It's a very difficult read in the Ramah. A difficult read of the Ramah. The Gra, Kedarko, is very subtle, but when you have to think about the Gra, he often doesn't stress what his point actually is. It'll just give you Maramaka most of the time. He'll give you Maramaka, and the Maramaka is very significant. Look at the Gra, this is I think a classic example. Look at the Gra, so cut your Zion. Call of Zachar. What's the source? He gives sources. There's a Mishnah Machshirin. Perek Vav of Machshirin. Machshirin is mostly about the din that food can only be makabel tumah if it's already been rinsed with a liquid. One of the seven liquids, one of which is milk. If you have an apple picked off a tree dry, then the other time he touches it, if it hasn't yet become wet, even though it's an apple and he's coming, the apple is not yet susceptible to makabel tumah. If, however, after it was picked, it already got rinsed with one of the seven liquids, even though now it's dry, the rinsing that is machshirit makes it susceptible, vulnerable to kabbal's tumah forever. So they can be rinsed with water or can be rinsed with milk or one of the other mashkin. So the Mishnah says, ain't a mashkin. I feel achshas azron. Ain't a avkin meich chalav. The Mishnah machshirin says, chalav zachar doesn't count. It's not even as significant as whey. So what did the Gra do for us? This is very important, as I'm done to appreciate what the Gra did. But number one, he introduces very significant an early Maramaka. This isn't just a line in Rishonim. It is a line in Rishonim. And you can go back to the Gemara. He says, even before the Gemara, it's a Mishnah Machshirin, the Mechalav is not Chalav. Okay, that's number one. He just gave this much earlier provenance. Number two, in addition to giving a makar, what's a, if that's the question of the history of the din, what's the nature of the din? Or what's the scope of the din? There's no reason to assume that Mishnah is talking specifically about human milk. The Mishnah is talking about regular animal milk, which came from a zahar. So he's relating the Ramah to that Mishnah. So the Gra, without saying much, is saying a lot. Don't tell me like the Shach that this Ramah is limited to one subtype of Chol of Zachar. No! This is the whole Chol of Zachar, the way the Mishnah talks about. So the Gra is subtly, but I think very clearly, distinctly, disagreeing with the Shach. Don't tell me it's one little detail. No, this is talking about Chol of Zachar in general. So an animal Chol of Zachar also. I had asked the Kasha from the Gemara. The Shachar arrived for the Gemara. The Gemara put side by side Chalev Shchuta and Chalev Zachar. And Chalev Shchuta, after all, is Asim Mijabara. What's the answer to that? I think there's a very fundamental answer to that. There's a leap in the Shach's reasoning, which again, the Grod doesn't address the Shach directly, but presumably the Grod would push back. The Shach said, oh, I have a Gemara. Chalev Shchuta, Chalev Zachar, they're side by side, they're parallel. If this is Asim Rabban, that's Asim Rabban. What was the Gemara talking about, however? What was the context of the Gemara? The Gemara is a drasha. The same drasha to prove something about both Chalev Zachar and Chalev Shchuta. What were we proving about both of them? That's not the race. It was a drasha. It's clearly not about Drabbanan. The point of that drasha was neither one is Chalev Min HaTorah. That's true. They're both equally powerful in HaTorah. But what has that to do with the question of is it Asim Mijabanan? Because, and here's the key point. The fact that Asim Mijabanan is not merely rooted in the fact that it's Mutim in HaTorah. Many things are Mutim in HaTorah. Not everything that's Mutim in HaTorah is Asim Mijabanan, obviously. Otherwise, everything would be awesome. Right? So, how come some things which are mutim in HaTorah become asur rabbanan and others don't? A pretty fundamental question. The answer is tzorach. Nusul ha-shchicha l'gadza b'rabbanan. Chazal make a gzera if this is a common concern. So consider chalev shchuta and chalev zachar are equally pariv min HaTorah. But should they therefore be equally milchik midrabbanan? Well, think. What's the difference between chalev shchuta and chalev zachar? The difference. All right, Chalev Shchuta comes about every time you shecht a nursing calf, it's going to be Chalev Shchuta. I don't have enough farm experience to tell you what percentage of cows which get shechted are still nursing cows. I imagine it's not that many, because if it's still a nursing cow, try going to want to keep it around to nurse it so that it gives more milk. But, you know, you do shecht dairy cows from time to time. Chalev Zachar, very uncommon. So Chalev Shchuta is common enough, the Milsa Shchicha Gazer Be'Rabbanan. But Chalev Zachar is very, very uncommon. Milsa Shchicha, what goes around? That's the Pashtas, like the Gra against the Shach, that the Ramah meant Chalev Zachar. Even Chalev Behema Zachar is absolutely power of even Midrabbanan, assuming there's no Marasayan issue, and it's not the same as Chalev Shchuta. Okay. Let's touch on 2.5 more points. As in, let's actually talk about 2 points and we'll reference one without really discussing. As I mentioned, the beginning of the Ramah in Sif Vav, the beginning that we just saw, so that's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And Chalev Zachar as opposed to Chalev Mesa and Mechal. The rest of the Ramah is other dinim. As he tells you, the end, other chumras in the world of Basa B'Chalav, specifically in the world of Bishul Basa, in the Isser of Bishul Basa B'Chalav. Most of the rest of Basa B'Chalav, from Simpe Chesed on, really going to be focused on Isser Achila. Sometimes the case, you did cook it, can you now eat it? Or you didn't cook it, can you now eat it? But from Pei Chesed on, we're really going to be focused on Isser Achila. Simpe Zayim is where we want to discuss Bishul. So that's why these chumras of the Ramah appear here in Simpe Zayim, because Siman Perei Zayin is Hilchas Bishul. Bishul as an Isser, as opposed to Bishul just as the backdrop to a potential subsequent Achil. So here he has the different Chumras. So that Yesh Omrim, that you shouldn't stoke the fire underneath the guy's pot. Because sometimes he has milk in his pot, sometimes he has a meat in his pot. If you're going to poke around the fire, when the fire under the guy's pot, then there's a concern of Bishul Bas V'Cholam. He talks about other cases of water from this kli, water from that kli, and mix them together. Even if I'm making a shampoo using ash, that's likely to have both milk and meat in them, and so on. So all this is only chumras. The other Rama says, these are minhagim lahachamir. Okay, there's certain communities have minhagim lahachamir, but I make a lesson. Strictly speaking, all the things are mutter. Now he does mention, it's interesting, the Ramah. These Ramahs, by the way, they come, if you look in the tour, in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah raises in Sif Vav. But on the page of the tour, it's rooted in the Darkei Moshe, early at the beginning of the Siman, the end of Sifan Aleph, as we had that in Ma'amakamos, actually discusses a number of these sort of side issues. These chumros in the world of the Isser Bishul. Now, this question of to focus on the first chumra of the Ramah, not to stoke the fire underneath the non-Jew's pot, because sometimes use that pot for milking. Sometimes use the pot for flasher. Doesn't have two sets of dishes. So I can't stoke the fire no matter what's inside. Regardless of whether it's basar inside or chalav inside, or as the shach points as the says, or if it's parav inside. The nachri put up a pot of pasta. No meat, no cheese, just plain pasta and water and salt. Yeah, but the whole issue is, forget about the pasta. I'm worried about the pot itself. The pot, the nachri's pot, has been boleya both basar and chalav. Because he uses the same pot for levels of inflation. And I don't care what's in the contents of the pot itself is trade. And therefore, stoking the fire would be a concern of Bishul Basar V'Cholav, because the pot wall contains Blias of Basar and Blias of Chalav. Now the Gilead Maharsha on the side, my printing is still cut in the Dalit, the older printing, they didn't have any numbers on the Gilead Maharsha, but the Gilead Maharsha. It's his comment on this line of the Ramah. The Yesh Omer Asher Lachto Say Shachas Akedera. So he said, it tells you, look at Mishnah. He says, oh, what Yesh? You know what you see? The Yesh Bishul Acher Bishul by Basar B'Cholam. By Shabbos, something very cooked and reheating it. That's not Bishul Daraisa. The Basar B'Cholam to reheat. Pre-cooked basar b'chalav. Now I want to put it back in the toaster oven to warm it up again. That's a violation of bishul basar b'chalav. It's not like Hilchos Shabbos. That's what the Gilead Maharsha said. Now, that's an interesting point. And we had seen when we got started, the Rav Akiva Eiger on the first line, the Sif Aleph, says, "Ein bishul acher bishul basar b'chalav." And he quoted earlier Acharon who said it also. Ah, you have a Ramana Shach. I have Ramon the Shach. The answer is Adra. The answer is that Ramon said these are Chumas B'Alma. And their Shach said, these are really Chumas. What? Taka, why is that Mutter? Exactly, because there was a Chumas to be concerned with certain situations in Yishbe'ach. Specifically, if it's a Nachri's pot. But the simple reading is not like the Gilead Maharsha. Simple reading is like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And the Acharon that he quotes, that strictly speaking, to re-cook, to re-eat Basar B'Cholav is mutter. Why that goes back to what we discussed in the beginning, the Isser Bishul Basar B'Cholav is creating Basar B'Cholav. And that's why some of the Acharonim even distinguish, it's not the same as Shabbos. They distinguish between reheating the pre-cooked basar b'chalav versus I have meat that's already cooked and milk that's already boiled, and then I combine them. Because if the issue is creating basar b'chalav, so the basar b'chalav is created once they're cooked together. So if the basar and chol were already cooked together, I had already boiled this meat and milk, and it cooled down, and I want to reheat it. So that's what Rekiv Eger says. So that's not a problem, because it already is basar and chol. I'm just reheating it. What am I doing? I'm not making basar and chol. But if I have cooked meat and I have boiled milk, each one was separately cooked. In Hilchos Shabbos, we would say, ain't bishul acha bishul. With basar b'chol, we would say, this is basar b'chol, this is chol b'chol, but it's not yet basar b'chol. If I cook them together, that's the creation of basar b'chol. Oh. What? Yeah, so, right, correct. It's not a problem. Now, the Ramban, the Shach say there's a chumra out there, Timachmu, but it's a chumra bi'alma. Why is it only chumra bi'alma? Why isn't it a concern of Bishul Basar B'chol, not chumra bi'alma? Bishul Basar B'chol is real sinaraisa. The answer is that's right. He already cooked with his pot. I'm just reheating the bleas that already in there have already been blended together. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says normally to reheat basar b'chol is heter gamur. This chumra means that there were communities where this particular instance of bishul acha bishul machmura. If it's not stam, I have in my kitchen, but it's the nachri's pot. So the some had the minute, you know, don't get involved in the bishul nachri's pot. And again, the issue might be. That chumra developed because who knows what's in the pot? Forget about the blias. Maybe he has actual basar and chol in the pot itself, the actual content of the pot. Then if I stoke the fire, I'm engaging in the actual bishul basar and chol. And so maybe it extended to the chumra to never get involved with his pot. But that's chumra b'alma. That's not asur mikradin. Why is it asur mikradin? Because the Rebbe Eger said, If the basar b'chol were already cooked together, so then in bishul acha bishul. Yeah, question. Interesting. So Glenn is pointing out, let's say I already have basar b'chol and then I cook it together with fresh milk. I cook it together with fresh meat. So then maybe that is an issur bishul basar b'chol because the fresh milk is combined with the meat. The meat's already also anyways, but the milk, interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, so you have to rethink that shah. That's interesting. So if it's pork, pork and milk is not an issur bishul. It's also to eat because it's pork. That's what you said earlier, sub gimlati. That's not issur bishul at all. But beef, according to most Rishonim, the Rambam may disagree, but according to most Rishonim, treif of beef, besar nevela, v'chalav, is a bas b'chav d'orais. It's ironic. Ironic but true. I don't want to get digging deep to Siv Zayin. It's a whole larger conversation. I have just planned, and I will just mention, Siv Zayin seems very irrelevant to us. The placenta and the gidin v'atzav, the skin of the animal, and the nerves of the animal, and the horns, and the bones, they're not the basar daraisa. It doesn't sound often so significant. It does, however, come up in the discussion of gelatin. The gelatin is usually produced from bones. Are they cow bones? Are they fish bones? So that the question is, clearly fish bones, fish gelatin is clearly going to be kosher and par. It's kosher fish, kosher and par. What should be the status of a beef gelatin produced from beef bones? And at that postgame are divided. Should you say that it's fleshic and potentially treif, or should you say totally par because it's It's nishtana. It's so changed, so processed for the original state that it loses any connection to the car. Or maybe this sip would indicate maybe par fleshik is not an issue, but maybe it has to be a kosher species or kosher cow. This discussion about samos and subzayin, it does form part of the debate about gelatin. Chaim Moshe discusses gelatin, and Baron Carlos discusses gelatin. Often a split between Eretz Yisrael and America, widely, almost universally assume that gelatin is a kosher problem. And kosher marshmallows in America are produced from fish gelatin, I think exclusively. And Eretz Yisrael, there's a range among poskim whether to assume that gelatin from treifa sources is a problem or not. Again, one of the sources for that discussion is Sif Zayin. And finally, Sif Ches. Sif Ches is the Shulchan Aruch coin, the Torah coin, his father, the Rush, another comment of Sif Vav. When we said Mechalav, the Gemara said, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara, the Mechal, that way, is not Milchik Min HaTorah. The question is, what does Mechalav actually mean? As I said before, we usually would translate Mechalav as way. I take milk, I curdle it, I add in acid or something, I coagulate a lot of the protein into curds, and then the rest of the liquid, the whitish, but the watery looking whitish liquid that remains away, that's usually assumed to be Mechalav. But here in Sif Ches, they call the Shita of the Rush. That's not Mechalav. The Rush says regular whey is absolutely milk-like. There's still plenty of milk solids in it. The Rush says, you know what? When the Gemara said Mechalav is not milk-like, I don't know what that meant. That meant Mechalav, the water of the water of milk. Meaning that there's something called in the industry called whey cheese. Sometimes they'll take the whey. The curds obviously either become soft cheese like hard cheese, or you can cut it and cure it and process it further into various hard cheeses. Then you have the whey. What do you do with the whey? You could throw out the whey, or you could take the whey and make that into cheese. You could take the whey and put that through a cheese making process. I mean, curdle the whey. If you curdle the whey, so then you have whey cheese, and then what remains behind is absolutely water. That's called Mei Mechalav, the water of the water of Chalav. And the Sif Ches, Shulchan Aruch quotes, the Rashit of the Rosh, when the Gemara said that Mei Chalav is not Melchik Min HaTorah, that was only a reference to Mei Mechalav. And the remnants after the whey cheese is made. And he says at that point, Lo Nishar Ba'al Mayim B'Yalma, that's basically just water. Zehu HaNikra Mei Chalav, that was the Chumrah of the Rosh, is that the Kula of Mei Chalav was limited. So has gone through two rounds of cheese making. All that remains is basically water. Yeah, question.
Interesting. I don't know if anybody noticed last week's Jewish Link. There was a magazine for the OK.
Yes.
They have an article there about cheese making and they talk about the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I mean, it's a coincidence that you're talking about.
Oh, wow, that's fascinating. They got to look at the OK magazine. Yeah, so the discussion of cheese making. Years ago, I started learning the halachas of Gevinas Akum, Simon Kuf Tazai, maybe we'll get to it at some point after Bas V'chol. I discovered the University of Guelph in Canada has a dairy sciences department. The entire department devoted to this. They have a very rich website. They got to take a look. The articles are probably more directed at the issues which are relevant. They got to take a look. The issues are relevant to kashrus. Yeah, so this is an interesting issue. The way cheese is used industrially. Now, let me close this with a one fascinating ha'ar that Rosh Hashanah has. Is a tshuva for the OU, which later became, it was originally published in this volume of Kashrus, Chalos and Tshuvas put up by the OU. And later Rosh Hashanah published this as a standalone article in Sefer Bikatzon. The Darkei Tshuva posed the following fascinating question. Let's say milk falls into fleshik. Simon, the mission that Kuf Ches of an Aleph, we'll get to it in detail, Simon Sadi Beis. Some Kippas Chav, a drop of milk falls into the Fleshik Pot. So what's the din? Is a Mutter Aser? Right? If I have 60 times as much contents of the pot as I have milk, mutter. Is that true? No. 60 times as much meat as milk? What do you mean by milk? The whole drop of milk? After all, a lot of the milk is really water. Or more precisely, a lot of the milk is really mei chalav. Even with the Russia's definition, pull out all of the milk solids. You'll do two rounds of cheese making. All that's left is basically water. Water that used to be part of milk. The mei chalav is min ha-Torah. Par. Now we drop bottom though, it's milk. So the Chamud Daniel, the Darkei Tshuva quotes from Chamud Daniel. Well, let's say I know, I'm not exactly sure how much milk fell into the meat. So I'm certain that there's shishim in the meat connected to the milk solids part of the milk. But I'm not sure if there's shishim, I'm not sure exactly how much milk it was. I'm not sure whether there's shishim against all the milk, even the water should go. So the Chamud Daniel says, maybe I should say, min ha-Torah, the only part of the milk that's milk-like is the solid part. And I have shishim against that. I'm not sure if I have shishim against the water. Okay, but the water is only milk-like from Rabbanon. To soft Rabbanon, lahakel. What a chap. Is that true? Oh, and by the way, that would mean min ha-Torah, before the takan Rabbanon mechalav, or you don't need shishim against all the milk. You need shishim against what does it come to? 18% of the milk. The majority of milk is water. Is that true? The Chamud Daniel ends up saying, no. This sounds so logical, but it's clearly against Mashmalos HaPosuk. Posuk are clear that you need shishim against the entire content, the entire volume of the milk. But why? Most of the milk is water. Most of the milk is not milk. That's the din of Mechala. That's the din of Mechala. And then Shechter quotes Ritzi Pesach Franki in his Chuvas. He discusses, what are you, we're going to get to later Simon Sadi days. You have a pan of milk heating on the fire, and there's meat above, and the vapor is rising. So that's a concern. So the Ritzi says, but why? What's the vapor? Water. The solids remain behind the pan. So by definition, the vapor is, that's distillation. I've distilled out the part that's only milk midrabana. How are you talking? But we don't treat that as anything different. So the answer as our chef develops at length, he says, the water only becomes pariv once it's separated. But calls to mind that the water is an, and if you mixed it back in, at that point, it would be a mix of water and milk. But calls to mind that the water is a natural organic part of the milk. It is milchik min ha-Torah. And he develops a very beautiful shtickle Torah. He points that this is true in many areas of halacha. He says, in terms of blood, when blood separates, so only part of the blood has the status of blood. The calls to mind that's naturally blended, the whole thing is blood. It's true in terms of grain. It's true in terms of the air in a baked good. And to the shiur and the Karen Or and others understand that when you talk about kazayas, even if it's chametz and it has air pockets in it, the whole thing can't include the air pocket. Even though obviously, if you squeezed out all the air, you wouldn't say, oh, the air is air. But calls mind that it's a natural part of the dough, the air is a natural part of the dough. Calls mind that the plasma is a natural part of the blood. Calls mind that the mechalav is a natural part of the milk. It is itself dough or dam or milk. So that's why, as long as it's natural milk, we don't say you only need shishim against the milk solids. No, you need shishim against all the milk. And even if you're distilling, you have the vapor rising off of the milk, but it's rising off of natural milk. It's still makusha to the milk. So at that point, the whole din of mechal is only once it's separated, and that's a din daraisa. Calls mind the milk, the water is a natural part of the suspension of milk. It's milk, the water itself, the water portion of milk is itself milchik min ha-Torah. Only after it's separated, at that point, again, machlokas, Rush, and others, how separate does it have to be? mechalav or maybe mechalav. At that point, it stops being milchik min haTorah. It's only milchik midrabban. Okay, so these are some of the issues that arise in terms of these seifim tehevav zayin ches, in terms of sort of more granular drilling down different issues in the definition of bishul, of basar, and of chalav.